Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll do this every Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. At 8 o'clock at the end of this broadcast, we have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs there, plus our TV programs are out there, plus a host of other Bible-related material to help you in your study and understanding of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be giving our regular meeting time of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. Last week, we began a study in answering the question, why am I a member of the Lord's Church? And we gave an introduction lesson last week, and today we want to answer the question, why is the Church of Christ different? What makes the Lord's Church different from all other religions, faith, and churches that are around us? Can we put a finger on why we are different? Well, there could be many answers to this, and we could spend many weeks talking about it, but I want to suggest this morning briefly four basic reasons. Number one is authority. Number two is obedience to Bible authority. Number three is following Bible patterns. And number four is respect for silence of the Scriptures. We understand that there is a need for authority in religion. Why do we believe that? Because of a statement made by Jesus in Matthew chapter 21 when he was asked about the authority that he had in what he was teaching and what he was doing. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 23, the scripture says, "Now when he came to the temple of the chief priests and the elders of the people, they confronted him as he was teaching, and he said, and they said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" Now notice, they asked, By what authority are you doing the things that he was doing? And then they not only wanted to know that, they wanted to know who gave him that authority. I want to suggest to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that those are two questions that we all need to be asking. Where did we get the authority to do the things that we do in religion? And who gave us that authority? We need to have some type of authority. There are rules, there are regulations. Whoever we turn to for authority, they must have a right to issue that authority. If that authority is correct, then it must be from a correct source. In Jeremiah 10:23, the Bible says, "It's not a man who walketh to direct his own step." In Proverbs 14, verse 12, Scripture says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that calleth on me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, there is a discussion between the authority that is from above and the authority that comes from man. And so we, first of all, in the Lord's church, we understand that we need authority. Number two, we understand that having authority, we have to be obedient to that authority. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Peter wrote that if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul would write to the church of Colossae, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God of the Father through him." And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and 21, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, the scripture says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture was of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the wise man Solomon wrote that he wanted to bring everything to a conclusion, and he said, what do men need to do? They need to fear God and keep his commandments. And that basically is exactly true. We need to fear God and keep his commandments, and you can only do that if you go to the right source of where God's commandments can be found. Now, thirdly, we follow Bible patterns, not because it's our, that's because that's what we think or that's what we chose to do. We believe that that is an obligation. It's not an option. It is a something that we are obligated to do by our Lord, that we are to follow the patterns that are given in Scripture. Now, a couple months ago, we examined Bible patterns in very great detail. We showed the pattern that were found in the Old Testament. We showed the patterns in the New Testament. And we demonstrated the by examples of those who failed to follow the patterns and those who made their own patterns. And we saw that in every case that they ended badly. And so man is obligated to follow Bible patterns. It's not an option. It is an obligation. We understand the Bible was given to mankind for a purpose. That purpose was to instruct him, to teach him, and for him to pattern his conduct after that teaching in accordance with God's word. And again, we remind you of some simple facts. Why did Noah build the ark? Because he followed God's instructions. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he, Genesis 6:22. Why did the walls of Jericho fall? Because in Joshua 6 and 7, Joshua and the children of Israel followed the instructions that God gave in taking the city of Jericho. Why was Naaman cleansed of his leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 11? Because he followed the prescription, the divine prescription given by the prophet of God to go into the Jordan River and dip 7 times. He followed the instruction. What about Saul? Why was Saul disregarded as God's king and the first king in the United Kingdom in 1 Samuel 15? Because he failed to carry out God's commands. He substituted his own desire for that of God's, and because of that, he lost his kingship. Why did Moses construct the tabernacle the way he did? Well, the Hebrew writer says he did it to follow the pattern that he was given in the mount, Hebrews 8 and verse 5. Why was Moses not allowed to enter the promised land? Because he failed to follow the instruction and the pattern that God gave him for giving water to the Israelites, to their animals, and to themselves in Numbers chapter 20, verse 8 through 12. Why did we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Because that is the pattern, that is the instruction given in Acts 20, verse 7. Why do we call ourselves Christian? Because that's what the early church called themselves, beginning in Acts 11 and verse 26. If man can change one thing in God's word, then he can change anything. Is the Bible a book of patterns? Yes. Do we have those? Are we obligated to follow those instructions? We are if we want to please God. We are if we want to do what's right. If we want to be accepted by God. Yes, we're obligated to follow those instructions. Now, lastly, as a general rule, we also want to suggest to you that not only do we understand the need for authority, and we understand that we need to be obedient to Bible authority once we've found it, and we need to follow God's patterns, his Bible patterns that he's given us and how we conduct ourselves in his church and how we become a member of that church and with the work that we do in that church. But there's another thing that makes us very distinctive is that we respect the silence of the scriptures. We respect God's silence. If the truth be known, this is what has always divided us from the religious world and even from some of our so-called brethren. Not on what the Bible says, but what the Bible is absolutely silent about. We're divided today not because we can't understand the Bible, not because we can't read it, not because we can't come to know the meaning of what we should do, but we're divided on things the Bible says absolutely nothing about. Now, you can only have two attitudes about this subject. Number one, silence is liberty to act any way that we choose. If God has not legislated, if God has not said anything, then we're at liberty to act any way that we choose. That's one understanding. But the other understanding is, where the Bible is silent, we must be silent. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13, the Bible clearly teaches us that we do not know the mind of God. We can't know what was in God's mind and what God was thinking and on what God and how he would want us to conduct ourselves. So that had to be revealed to us. Somebody had to tell us what God wanted and what he desired and why he desired it. Well, the Holy Spirit did that according to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13. And we understand the limit of his silence. We're not to go beyond what is written. That's what 1 Corinthians 4, 6 says. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, we have given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the perfect law of liberty. Perfect means complete. It means nothing lacking. James 1, verse 25. And then we have 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 that tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it thoroughly equips us to every good work. Now, everything that we need to do in order to please God and every work that we could engage in that will be acceptable to God is contained in that revealed word. To not do so puts our soul in jeopardy. And lastly, he did not give us liberty to act on our own desires and wants, but we are to follow his instruction. And I want you to listen as I read some passages together with you from Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Now listen to the great prophet Isaiah as he talks about the power of God's word and the simplicity of it. In Isaiah 55, I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. It says, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts and your thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth to make it give forth bud, and it may give seed to the sower, and the bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall be accomplished what I please it to do, and I shall not be prisoner, and I should prosper in the thing in which I have sent it." What is God saying? God's saying that his word will do exactly what he designed it to do. It will accomplish his will, and it will do it in a way that he wanted it done. We just have to believe that. We have to accept that, and we have to follow it in order for that to come to fruition. And so the Bible is, God does limit us in not acting upon God's silence. Not thinking that we can get into God's mind and we can know what God is thinking, or that we can take his place and his authority and we can supplant it with our own. Such thinking will leave us in a position where God will not receive our worship nor accept our work. One of the most basic differences we have with our religious neighbors and our brethren from whom we are divided is the basic understanding of the authority of God's word. He speaks, we listen, and we obey. That's just simply it. Read Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, John 1, 17. In the Lord's church, following the Lord, not running ahead of him, is what we always strive to accomplish. In later lessons, we will give you more detail in why we follow the Bible pattern. And so why are we different? Because we believe in authority, and we believe in obeying it, and we believe in following the remedies and the instructions that are given by our Lord. Thank you for listening today. Please tune in again next week as we continue to give you a message of truth.